Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the After Class podcast, season two. We are going to be doing a really good episode today for anybody that is going to be traveling with dogs via the airplane.
The plane
flying. So obviously, I think some of these things will carry over to like traveling with your dog in a car, but I think flying dogs, as we know, can be very stressful. And between the two of us, we have done
a few trips.
And by few, she means many. We've flown overseas like, I don't know, maybe 20 times?
Maybe.
I would say. So that's a lot of flying. So anyways, today we want to share some tips and tricks with you on flying with dogs and things that you should think about in order to kind of like relieve a bit of stress for your dog, but mostly you.
100% you.
Mostly you. Okay, so we're going to basically organize this from like the preparation to like the actual like flying part thing.
Okay.
So first things first, if you're going overseas or if you're going like to a different country, first things you need to do is make sure that you're checking like what that country
requires.
Requires, because like different countries have like different
vaccine policies,
protocols and whatnot. And then we were just talking before we started trying to remember the proper time frame, but there is a specific date that you have to get your dogs vaccinated before they can leave
travel
the country.
Yep.
And that has a specific coordination with your dog's microchip as well. So these are all things that you need to connect with your vet about and do it in ample time so that you have an opportunity. So to get whatever you need done. And then if you're going to a European country, you in Canada anyways, it might be different for every country. I'm really not sure. But here in Canada, we have to go to a CFIA vet who is a specialized vet for
gives us permission to fly the dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have to give you the stamp of approval. And then that paperwork needs to travel everywhere with you when you're there, when you fly over, when you check in at your own country's airline, when you get to the new country's airport, then
they will ask for copies of that. So we always bring multiple copies, not just one copy.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And we put it in lots of different places in our luggage so that if we lose it, we have a backup plan.
Never lost.
Good. Real handy. That's good. So the vet thing is going to be really important. Obviously, the dogs have to be checked to make sure that they're fit to fly. But that process is easy. The process that could be sketchy is the whole like rabies vaccination and making sure you get your CFI vet thing done on time. And like the paperwork that's required to do that is very meticulous. Our vet is a rock star with it
because she's a pro.
She's done it so much. But that way, like it has to be done in a certain ink pen, and it's very anyways, but only if you're going overseas is that really an issue. If you're just like going to the States or something, you just need your rabies vaccination, if that really.
Yeah,
at this point. So that's the sort of the administrative stuff. Let's talk about what people need in order to fly their dog. So if you have a small dog that's small enough to like go up in cabin with you, like in a bag, like under the seat, you might not need to worry about some of this, but really,
that can be stressful though too.
Yeah. And really most dogs these days,
they
don't fit there anymore, mm-hmm, because the seats are literally smaller than they used to be.
Yeah. Unless you have a small Papillon or Sheltie perhaps.
Maybe. Yeah. Like my poodle, who is 7 inches at the shoulder and like about 7 or 8 pounds, she can go under the seat, but that's about like it's tight for her.
It's squishy. And then it also limits your leg room.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, damn dogs. Yeah, and it can be stressful, like you said. Sometimes when the dog is that close to you, mm-hmm, they really want you to let them out of the bag, and they're a little bit more stressy.
I did that once, and it was...
You said your dog was a little bit more worried once he knew that was a possibility.
Yeah,
right?
Wind was a bit more anxious. Mm-hmm. On the way back, I decided not to open up the crate at all, and he was much more settled.
Interesting. Yeah, and I usually bring... something for my dog to chew or whatever to keep them occupied. But we're going to give you some more advice. Most of the time when Jamin and I have flown our dogs, it's been like underneath,
below the cabin,
in the baggage area. with the dog. So let's talk crates.
Okay.
What are the best types of crates to use to fly dogs?
Well, they have to have specific airflow, mm-hmm. and it has to be
holes on all four sides.
All four sides, yes. Mm-hmm. I like the crates that you can break down for traveling in the car mm-hmm. afterwards once we land, especially when we're going to Europe because the cars are always much smaller.
So much smaller.
So trying to fit.
It's like a Jenga game.
Yes, yeah. So it's really important that they can break down. And then also have lots of different spots that you can put extra tie wraps on too.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm flying to the Netherlands in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And I have a really nice crash proof crate now, but it's completely solid. And I'm like really on the fence because obviously that's a safer crate for her to fly in. Uh-huh. And it is airline approved, I believe. Uh-huh. So I hear. But I know that once we get over there, I can't take it apart. So I don't know whether, I'm still not sure what I'm going to do. Usually uh-huh. I've flown my dogs in the brand Vary Kennel, uh-huh. V-A-R-I, yeah. I think it is. Sure. Anyway, so there's lots of great brands out there, but it's like a fairly high quality crate. And as James said, they have like the little screw things all around the outside. Super technical mm-hmm. word for them. And I always bring extras of that as well, because if you take
the tie wraps.
Yeah. Not tie wraps, but the actual like.
Oh, the screws?
Hardware. I bring a few extra ones in case they like go wandering off.
That's smart.
But yeah, let's talk tie wraps and what. The airline does with tie wraps and what we do with tie wraps.
Well, each airline does things a little bit differently. Some of them have their own tie wraps and they want to make sure that the doors are tie wrapped closed.
Tie wraps also, I think people call them zip ties.
Zip ties.
Maybe. But whatever. Now you know what I mean. Zip ties, tie wraps. Anyways, just so in case you're wondering what the heck a tie wrap is.
Yeah, I could be, I don't know.
I mean, I know what you mean.
Yeah, good thing. Mm-hmm. So they put them on the doors so that the dogs, if the doors fall out of the crate, then they're secured on.
Some crates come with like the little holes already in them, but most of the crates that I've done, I've had to drill them myself.
Oh, I've never had to.
Oh, really? Uh-huh. Yeah, I've had to drill them myself like four, like one on each corner. And then that way I can put the zip tie through the hole and then through the door. Hmm. One of the years that that I've gone, it's still on my crate now, is I attached dog leash clips.
Me too.
To long tie wraps, like a bunch of them together. And then I would just take them and I would attach them to the side windows.
Yes.
And then I would bring them around and just clip them onto the door. And the reason why we do this is if for some reason your crate gets like crunched or breaks apart, the door can't just fly off and now your dog's like running around the airport or whatever the situation is. It just keeps the door a little bit more secure. That's the reason for it. But some airlines, as Jamie said, you have to do the four zip ties around the window. So around the window. Around the door. anyway, so we usually bring extra zip ties so that we can do it ourselves or mm-hmm. we have backups if we need to.
Yeah. And in the back of the crate, we usually have, well, I have a pencil case that I keep the extra tie wraps in. I keep a pen in. And I also.
Baggies.
Yep.
Poop bags.
Yep.
Nail clippers.
Yes. And I think I keep like a Nyla bone in there too.
Yeah. Just something extra.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this pack, you can literally attach it to the outside of your crate, not inside the crate with the dog. On the outside of the crate, like on the back window, just attach it there. The nail clippers or scissors is really helpful because we learned this the hard way because the first time years and years ago, they did the whole zip tie door thing. We got to Europe and we wanted to let our dogs out for a pee because they'd been in the crates forever. And we couldn't for the life of us get these plastic zip ties off. And of course, you can't travel with scissors or anything like that in your carry-on. But anyway, so we smartened up and now we attach it to the actual crate itself. And then we just unlock it as soon as the dog gets there. Because you don't always have like your, what's it called?
Your luggage.
Luggage. Yeah. Like not your. Yeah.
Yes.
Is it just luggage? It is just luggage. You don't necessarily have that like right away. So that's super handy.
Yeah. Also on the front of the crate, we usually put a crate plate. And the crate plate has the dog's name and our phone number. And then on top, We generally put a piece of paper, and on the paper it has like all of our information, the dog's name,
emergency contact, phone number,
a picture of the dog as well.
Picture of the dog. My name is. On some of my dogs, I'll say like, I have a sensitive belly. Like, don't feed me.
Yes.
Bottled water only. I know we're probably sounding super like princessy right now, but these are all really important things because the dogs are in the crates for a long time and you just don't really know who's going to come in contact with them and how things are going to go. And if they eat something, like I have a dog that's a super sensitive belly, and if she gets food that is not her regular, she'll have diarrhea, and then she's either, that's what her experience is going to be, or that's how her belly is going to be when we get there for the first couple of days of the trip. So we're really particular about that. So yeah, that sign on the top says all of that stuff. Jamie said picture. That's really important. Make sure the right dog's in the crate. Yes. In the crate.
The other thing when we're flying too is we try not to get a layover.
Yes.
Direct flight.
Only direct flights. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is a hard rule for me, and I will not break it anymore after doing layovers with dogs in the past where they go to the pet hotel. I'm using quotations if you're not watching us right now. And if you are listening and you happen to work at a pet hotel, I would love to actually talk to you about how it goes
there.
What
that looks like,
what that looks like. But it stresses me out, the idea of somebody that I don't know handling or interacting with my dogs.
And, are they interacting with all dogs? Like, is it puppy playtime?
Yeah. I just don't want any of that.
So we avoid that.
Yeah. So for example, I have to go to Czech Republic in October, and I am flying into Vienna, direct flight, and then driving to Czech from there. It's only like 5 hours of a drive. So
it's worth it though.
Yeah, it stops me from having to do a layover. So yeah, that would be a huge piece of advice that I would give you. If you can avoid the layover at all costs, I would if I was you.
How long before your flight do you feed the dog?
It depends on the dog and how good of a pooper they are. So Jamie and I have this like crazy thing that like we can't have a relaxing flight unless our dogs have taken a poo.
Once they poo, it's like relief.
Oh my God.
Literally.
It's instant relief. Like it's just relief all around once the poo happens. Yeah, it's very stressful. So I will try to feed. It's a fine line because they're also not going to be fed
for a while,
for a long time. Mm-hmm. So you kind of want to feed them as late as you possibly can, but still have time that like they'll go to the bathroom. And then what I usually do is I bring their next few meals and I bring it in my carry-on so that when I get there and I let them out for pee, I feed them immediately, especially like going overseas. They're usually in their crates for anywhere from 9 till 12 hours sometimes. That's a long time. So yeah, I usually, I'm strategic
and then
with my feeding.
For their water, do you, like ice their water? Or
no, I used to do that. I used to freeze water overnight, but because you have to go so early, I would do that. And then I would, by the time my dogs would go, the water would be slopping everywhere.
Yeah.
So now I just keep like water bottle with me. And then at the very last second, when they go in their crate, I fill it up like, and I use buckets, not bowls, I like the hangy metal buckets because they're deep. And then I secure them with zip ties, more zip ties, so that they don't move at all. And you have to have a bucket. You have to not have a bucket, but you have to have a bowl in the crate. That's a requirement. They have to be able to, they have to have water.
And they will ask you, when was the last time your dog ate too?
Yeah. And you have to write it on a piece of paper and that's attached to the crate.
Yes.
For international flights, it is at least. Anyway, so then I'll just put like half a bucket of water in their crate before they go, so it's not going to like
make their
spill.
Bedding all wet. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's enough that I know that they're not going to run out by the time they get over. But yeah, that always seems to work last minute.
What about bedding?
This is
do you put a mat or do you put like a fluffy bed?
I put a fluffy bed. But I will tell you that there are dogs, if they are stressed, ripping their bedding or eating their bedding can possibly happen. Even if they don't do that at home, if they're in a stressful situation, sometimes out of stress, dogs will like rip and tear what's in their bedding. I know my mom had a border collie years ago that did this, and she would start to, she flew the dog with like newspaper on the bottom.
Oh.
Not so that he could go to the bathroom, but because he would rip it, or like a bath towel, because he would just rip it apart. He wouldn't eat it, thank God, but he would just like, he wanted to like shred it, so that way if he did, he wasn't like wrecking his bedding or, mm-hmm. you know, ingesting something bad. Mm-hmm. But the dogs that I've flown with usually have no problem. And I bring multiple beds mm-hmm. and Beeline's like little princess in a pee.
Oh, I love it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I probably shouldn't say this on a public podcast, but I've also put some clothing in there. I was overweight. So I was like, well, I mean, I'm just going to lay it down on the bottom. So I put a few extra things in the crate to fly with the dogs. Whatever, they didn't care.
They probably liked it.
Yeah. And then what else we put in the crates with them? Because obviously we don't want them chewing their bedding, but you want to give them something to chew.
A Nylabone that I know that it's not, they're not going to destroy. And I usually put...
Not a time to use a new bone, people.
Yes.
Use something that you know your dog is safe.
Likes, but yeah, it's safe.
Safe to chew.
And then I also do the Kong with some treats and frozen yogurt. Mm-hmm. And then I give that to them at the last second.
Yeah.
So the goodbye is a little bit easier.
Yeah. I usually like fill it with peanut butter and all that good stuff. And I put it in a Ziploc bag. And just as I put them into the crate and before I lock it, I put it in there. And then sometimes if I'm like really organized, I pack a second Kong with peanut butter. Mm-hmm. And then when I get to wherever I'm going,
oh, that's good.
I will save it until the ride home. Because in some places, like I've had trouble like finding things to put in the Kong based on what's available to me, mm-hmm. depending on what country I'm in or whatever. So sometimes I'll do that. But for Netherlands, I won't because peanut butter is readily available in Netherlands.
Good thing.
Yeah. Another thing that that we will often do with our dogs is put a tracking device on them.
Oh, yes.
We've had a lot of really great success using Apple AirTags. We've used other things in the past, but my experience recently with Apple AirTags has been way better than...
That's more current, though.
...things that we've used in the past. Mm-hmm. I used it last year when I went to Netherlands, and it was so awesome. I actually attach it right to Beeline. Like, right, I don't put it to the crate so that if she gets out of her crate, like, I know where she is. And then also... on the dog, we make sure that whatever collar they have on is a safe collar and it has identification on their collar as well. So their name, your phone number, that type of thing. It's also on the crate. We mentioned that before. And then they're microchipped and then they have an AirTag on their collar as well.
All the things.
But what's great about the AirTag is you literally can just open up the find my location or find my mm-hmm. whatever it is.
Yeah.
Find my phone. App on your iPhone, and then you can see literally
exactly where they are.
Not when you get up in the air, you can't, but once you're sitting in your seat, you can see the dogs underneath you. I found it so helpful when we landed in Netherlands last year.
To try to find them?
Yeah. I was like, where are they? And I could see she was still on the other side of the airport.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I was
You can tell when they're unloaded too.
Yeah. So that's really handy. I've bought a special like AirTag holder for her collar this year.
Oh, I saw those on Amazon.
Oh, I got mine on Amazon.
I'm sure you did.
Yes, I'm an Amazon queen, guys. So I'm looking forward to using that. And then I also bought additional AirTags this year for like my luggage and stuff too.
Because good idea. Yeah, all the problems.
Airport's a little bit psycho. So yeah, I would definitely suggest using an AirTag for your stuff, but for your dog, it's like that extra peace of mind.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's really helpful. So to recap for the crate, you need a plastic crate, a good quality crate that has airplane approved. And that has holes on all four sides, obviously, of your door, but it needs holes on the back and you can put your own holes in too. If you don't want to buy a new crate. On top of the actual crate, we have the labeling that has all your flight information.
Oh, one other thing that I do that is a little bit crazy sometimes to put tons of stickers on all over it. So if lots of people are flying, I can find my crate easily.
Yes, I do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Lots of the dog's name mm-hmm. also, which is really helpful because we'll talk about the step of like making sure your dog's actually on the plane. Yeah. We'll get to that in a second. But it's great if your crate has some specialized like identification to it because then it's easier when you're communicating with the airline people.
Yeah.
On the front of the crate, we usually have a crate plate. You need to make sure you have four holes around the outside of the door, like on the plastic part, so you can put the zip ties on. We put a pack on the back of the crate that has nail clippers and anything that you think will be essential.
In the crate, a bed, depending on the dog, mm-hmm. A Nylabone, something that they will not destroy, and a bucket of water that is secure so that you're not getting water
getting all sloshed around. Mm-hmm. And then remember the poo thing.
Yeah.
The poo thing's important. Figure out where the pet relief area is and if your airport has one. I know we fly out of Pearson Airport in Toronto quite often because that's the one that's closest to us. And it has a fabulous pet area outside, which is great. But not every airport is like that. I cannot tell you how many times Jamie and I have lifted dogs up above our heads into like flower planters. This is where you need to teach your dog to go to the bathroom on command.
Yes, male dogs are a little bit easier for this, but after I think my first trip to Europe, my female dog learned to just kind of pee wherever.
On cement.
On cement, which was the weirdest thing, but had to figure it out.
Yeah, have to figure it out. Yeah, for sure. So that's going to be really, that's really important. Okay, so when you get to the airport and you have all of your stuff, so you have your cart, you have your crate, you have your luggage on top. I remember one year I flew two dogs, remember?
Yes.
And you flew one dog. So it was like...
Yeah,
that was the Tetris car year.
Yes,
that we were like, how on earth are we going to fit all of these things into one vehicle?
Yeah.
Anyways,
so trying. Well, we would each take a what are those things called? Like a trolley.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have two dogs on it, and your. I think we put like a bunch of your luggage on my crate.
Oh my god!
And then remember, I got stuck on the thing that.
Escalator?
The escalator.
Oh my God.
It was a disaster.
It was a disaster. I could literally tell you all kinds of ridiculous airport stories with stuff. Anyways, whatever. So you get to your airline. I would definitely suggest that you go minimum 3 hours early, sometimes more if you are going to a crazy airport, because it does take a lot of extra time to check the dogs in.
There's some people at the airport don't know how to do the dog thing. So someone specific has to come and meet you to work through all of the paperwork and flying the dog.
And also when you fly a dog, like you can't do pre-check-in like you can when you're not flying with an animal. So that means that like you're checking your dog in, you're also checking yourself in. So it's just not as quick and convenient as it normally is when you're flying without an animal with you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Then usually you need to have the awkward conversation with the agent about like when they're going to come and take your dog.
Oh, yes.
So, and that you kind of be a little bit polite, but pushy at the same time, because sometimes they just want to take the dogs like right then and there, but like your flight doesn't leave for like 2.5 hours. And then maybe like in my case to go to Europe, my flight's 7 hours. So now we're looking at 9 hours before I even get there. Right.
Yeah. So we try to leave them out of the crate until the last moment.
Yeah. So I usually ask the agent, like, when's the last possible moment that we need to come back for you to take the dogs? And usually they're really good about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to go to oversized baggage and you have to get the crates
sorted out. And they do a security check on them.
Mm-hmm. So they make you take your dog out of the crate. They take everything out of the crate and they put it through the x-ray to make sure everything's good. Hot tip, do not clean your crate right before you leave with like potent cleaning solution, because they think you will have a bomb in your crate. Did I tell you about that?
No.
Yeah. So they put the little scanny thing over top of the crate and it started beeping.
Uh-huh.
And the guy got like really like freaked out with me.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what's going on? Like, I was just so confused. And then they were like asking me all these questions. And then they're like, have you done anything with this crate lately? Like, I'm getting like weird chemical reading on it. And I was like, I don't know if it was Lysol or whatever it was, but I cleaned it like very thoroughly just before we went. And so once I said like, I literally just cleaned it, they relaxed a little bit, but it was like super serious. Anyways, just to add to more stress. Anyway, so usually you have to like leave your crate there and then you can go and like walk your dog for a little bit. Some airports are okay with the dogs being out of their crates. Toronto is not.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto does not like when you walk the dogs unless you're outside. But if you're just like walking through the airport, they don't like that.
They want
your dog in the crate. So we try to avoid that so that our dogs can be loose and on leash as much as possible. I forgot to say this, but I'll usually like exercise my dog in the morning before I leave for the airport, make sure they've had like a good solid walk and like they've had some good exercise, because they're going to be cramped up for like hours.
Yes.
Anyway, so yeah, then you bring your dog back and then that's when the crying happens.
The goodbye. The snug and then the goodbye. And Kale cries like a baby.
I'm so bad.
You are the worst, I think.
I'm so tough normally, but I hate that part so much.
It is stressful.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, usually the people, sometimes they're not that nice and they just take the dogs and they don't give a crap that you're upset. And there's other people that are so sweet. And
most of them are nice.
Yes. And they're like, oh, I love dogs. Like, don't worry. We'll take such good care of her. Uh-huh. And I'm like, okay, thank you. And
some of them have offered, like, once they're down in the plane, like, to take pictures of the ones that, like, cart the dogs. Yeah. It's so nice. It makes you feel good that things are going well.
Yeah. So anyways, they take your dog from you and then you go through security and do all that thing as per normal. And then usually what we do is we get through security, we go directly to the gate and we check in with the agent immediately and say like, hey, my flight's at so-and-so time. I'm flying with an animal. Do you think somebody could let us know when the dogs have been boarded so that we know when we can board? Mm-hmm. We try not to board until they tell us that the dog has boarded. So this is something that I would suggest that you do, because there has been times where we have got on a plane and our dogs have not been boarded. Mm-hmm. And that's been pretty stressful.
That's very stressful.
Do you want to tell them about Wink?
So I think we were coming back from England.
Yes.
And there was five dogs. And when the dogs were being carted to go to the plane, only four dogs could fit on the device that they were wheeling out to the plane.
Yeah, it was like a flat trolley
something like that. So my dog, Wink, was
the fifth
one that was by herself, and I instantly did not feel good about it.
I know.
So
this was before AirTag time.
Yes. So I sucked it up and I was like, it is what it is. I can't control the situation. I had to have trust. So we all left to, you know, go up to board the plane, and we asked if the dogs were boarded, and they said yes. And we said, how many? And they said four. And I instantly had a
Mariah Carey meltdown.
Yeah. I cried for a long time and I refused to get on the plane. Yeah. And then they told me that the dog was on the plane, but I did not have faith that the dog was on the plane. So we had a great guy that was working down below, and he decided to take a picture and showed me, and it created a lot of relief, and I was able to board the plane and got home safely.
Yeah, for sure.
But it was very stressful in the moment.
Yeah. And most of the time, like, as long as you're like polite and you say like, yeah, like flying with the dog's stressful, like if you wouldn't mind just letting us know when they've been boarded, and 9 times out of 10, they really are lovely. Although I think that we've learned over time, like, there's certain airlines that are like really fabulous with dogs, and there's certain airlines that are not. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily know if I want to say the airlines, because I don't think that that's a smart thing to do. But there are certain airlines. So do your research basically to make sure. I will say that one thing that I like that WestJet does is they have a little piece of paper that you fill out when you check your dog in. Just a little piece of paper that makes your heart feel so much better. Anyways, that little piece of paper gets stuck to your dog's crate, and when your dog gets loaded, they rip a piece of the thing off and they give it to the airline stewardess.
Yep.
And they bring it to your seat and let you know that your dog's been boarded. So you have a physical piece of paper that came from your dog's crate, so you know they're on. And I really love that system.
And sometimes the pilot will say, oh, we have a bunch of dogs flying with us today.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they'll come to the thing and be like, oh, do you guys have Funky Monkey and Wink? And they're like, why do you guys have such interesting names? That's right. Ping Pong and all these crazy names. But yeah, so it is important that you just wait until they're boarded and that you're, you know, polite about everything, because you'll always get better service when you're like that. Speaking from Canadians. But anyways, that's really helpful. I was just thinking of something else that I wanted to say. Oh, I get asked this a lot. People often say, like, what to do with the dog food when you're flying.
What do you mean?
Well, like, do you do you buy food when you're over there or whatever?
Well, I think it's more challenging depending on what you feed, but I feed kibble and I pack a bunch of it in my carry-on and I put a bunch of it in my luggage. So if something happens, mm-hmm. I have, you know, a solid base to tide me over until I can get something when I land.
Yeah, I think that that's a good good tip. The very first time that I went overseas was back in 2004, and I wasn't sure if you were allowed to take the food or not, so I didn't. Mm-hmm. And I went to a pet store. I found my food at a pet store while I was in Spain, and I fed it to my dog, but the actual formula of the food wasn't the same because it was in a different country, and my dog got very sick, and she was really dehydrated, and I was there for a world championship, and unfortunately, it really affected her energy. She had diarrhea and an upset stomach all week. She was very dehydrated. It was not a good situation. So I also didn't know about like not giving them water, like the country's water. I gave her just tap water while I was there. She was so sick. And it was my first time going and I didn't know any better. I was also 19 years old. So
yeah.
Anyways, so now we will pack our what our dog's comfortable with, what they're familiar with. And that's one of the reasons why we do feed kibble is because we travel so much and you can do it with raw and lots of our team members do it with raw and mm-hmm. they do it fine. I personally find it inconvenient. So it's just totally self.
What works.
Yeah, what works for you. But we usually put all of our food into like little, like portion each day controls. Has its own, has its own Ziploc bag with all of our supplements and everything in it. So it's super convenient. And then like James said, we put it all over the luggage so that we're good to go. And that's really helpful. And then I mentioned the water. Every place is a little bit different. And there's some countries that I've been to that have like way better water than Canada. Like Finland has amazing water and my dogs can drink tap water there and they're totally fine. But I'm just always, I think because I had that bad experience, I just don't want to risk it. So yeah. I usually go to the grocery store and I buy a bunch of distilled water and I just drinks bottled water and my dog drinks bottled water for the entire trip. And since I've done that, I've not had any problem whatsoever. So I will continue to do that. I know lots of people have no problems, but I just, you want to set them up for success.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of poopy things,
yes.
You know, you should also pack yourself some type of like first aid kit and health kit when you go as well.
Yes.
We always take over like diarrhea medication, tick removers.
Yes.
I have like a natural like tick repellent spray that I bring as well.
Liquid Band-Aid for
food, pads. What else? Vet wrap.
Yes.
Like any tummy calming things. Yeah. Gravol. Yeah.
It's Benadryl, I think.
Oh, Benadryl. Yeah, that's right. Benadryl. Mm. Yeah. Anything like that. You could bring like Medicam or things like that if you wanted to, but it's just good to have like a bunch of things on hand and hopefully you don't have to use any of it, but it's just good to have it.
It's good to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I put it in a little pack and like for those of you who are listening that are going for like competitions, I put the little pack in my like training bag and I take it to the event with me so that I am just ready for whatever comes my way or my dog's way.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's a really helpful hint as well. The other thing too that's kind of handy is like when you give your dog to the people at the airport, sometimes they'll tell you to like remove their collar and their leash. I try to not remove the collar as much as I can, even if they say like I often will like ask them if it's okay mm-hmm. if they continue having their collar on. But then you have your leash and you have all your things, but like you're under, like your baggage is gone now. So whatever you have left with you, it goes in your carry-on. So I have like an airport leash that I use. I think you do too. It's like mm-hmm. it's like a very tiny,
leash
yep. That I can just fold up and then put it in my backpack or whatever. And it's just a little bit more convenient. Yep. And then anything else that you want, you just put underneath it. You don't have to worry about again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What else?
Do you do anything special for anxious dogs?
I'm torn on this. I'm torn on this because I'm having to think about this for my trip coming up with B, because she's a little bit sound sensitive and she's flown now and she did not enjoy it at all. So I've been thinking about it, but I've had a lot of conversations with our vet about this, and she's not a big lover of this because she wants the dogs to be able to be alert and aware if they need to be, which I completely appreciate that side of things. But at the same time, you know, 9 or 10 hours of being in a stressful state is also not very good for their health. In saying this, I think it's really important that if you do plan on traveling with your dog, make sure that their crate is a safe space already. They're already crate trained. They're already comfortable being in their crate. And I'm so grateful. Like my dog, she loves her crate. So being in the crate is not the hard part for her. It's being around like the screechy brake sounds of the trucks and like the loud noises is the part that she doesn't like. But every dog's a little bit different. Some dogs don't like new people leaning over their crate and picking their crate up and moving it around.
One of my dogs wouldn't drink a lot while they flew, so I always made sure that I had water after the flight. And I generally had one of those like collapsible bowls.
Yep,
because those are handy. She would drink better from that than the bucket in the crate. So I made sure that I, you know, always had water and had the crate available. I mean, the bowl available.
Yeah, the bowl available. Yeah. Yeah. So with the anxious dogs, I think you just kind of have to play it with by ear, because I think every dog's a little bit different. I think that's another reason why I like to like kind of tire her out a little bit before I put her
calmer minded.
Yeah, just so she's got the edge off of her. She's had some good exercise. And then also, like, when you get to the flight airline as well, or sorry, when you get to the airport, the new airport, you get your dog out. Also, like, just keep in mind your reaction to the dog. Like, if you have a really anxious dog, like for me with B, she is anxious. I, as awful as it sounds, I try not to, when I see her, make a big deal of it, because she's already like a little bit stressy. So if I'm like, oh my God, B, I love you, I'm so sorry, and I make
it
a big,
just reinforces it.
Yeah, it just makes her more worried. So I try, and I try not to let her out too quickly. If I can, or if I do, I'm just kind of neutral with her, because I'm just trying not to make it a thing. And then obviously if a little bit of time's passed, then I'm hugging and smooching her nonstop and holding her like a baby and telling her I love her so much. But my initial reaction, I do try to be careful that I'm not making her anxiety worse by kind of leading into it a bit.
The other thing that we didn't mention, we always try to go a few days before so the dogs have time to adjust.
Yeah, talk about that. It's awesome.
I appreciate doing that with when I was flying Wink, because she wasn't really a stressy dog when she flew, but I don't think
she struggled with time change.
Well, maybe. I don't think she relaxed where she slept in the crate much.
Oh yeah.
So when I got her out of the crate, that whole day she would be kind of tired.
Yeah.
So it was just a good way to adapt and kind of get used to, you know, being in Europe and a different time change, I guess.
Yeah, that's a really good suggestion. I think that it's important to make sure that you do that, because I think the dogs do need some time. And then also too, like, you know, trying to find an opportunity to like walk them after, like let them stretch out. We usually find a park and play frisbee or something that's not going to hurt them before a big competition. But yeah, I mean, we could talk about other travel things too. Like when you get to a new place, be aware. Like when I go to the Netherlands, I keep saying Netherlands because the world championship that we go to is in Netherlands a lot. So I've been there many times. I love you, Netherlands, but you have terrible, terrible ticks there. There are so many ticks, and maybe it's the time of year we go in May. They're everywhere. So like tick meds are a must. And I also am very careful that like I'm not, like I go on hikes and stuff here, I don't do that when I'm there. I'm careful about like not staying away from long grass, being careful about where I'm hiking. I'm trying not to expose my dog to anything that she could possibly get hurt. Like I know sometimes people are so excited that you can take your dog everywhere. In Europe,
which is kind of cool.
It is cool,
but at the same time, I don't think that we do a lot with the dogs, just because we try to conserve their energy as well for the competition.
And so, I also know of a few team members that have like taken their dogs on excursions and they've ripped pads or they've cut feet and they weren't able to compete. They flew all the way over there.
Horrible.
It was horrible. all the way over there, and because they wanted to take their dog on a tour to see a museum or whatever they're doing.
I do that after.
Yeah, I can do it after for sure. You just have to be careful. This is for people that are going for competitions. Obviously, if you're just going for a vacation or you're just traveling with your dog, maybe there's some of the stuff they don't really care about. But for those of you listening that are going for competition, you just have to be smart about what you expose your dogs to. Also, too, like, there's lots of dogs in Europe and there's lots of off-leash dogs in Europe. Mm-hmm. Most of them are pretty good, actually.
Yes.
Generally well-behaved dogs there. But you just never know what you're going to encounter. But I would say that one of the really fun things about going is, you know, I remember we've done lots of traveling, but we went to Utrecht one time and we had Wink and Funky with us. Mm-hmm. We remember we had a really nice lunch and our dogs just like laid at our feet on this beautiful patio. We had food, we had wine.
It was very relaxing.
They brought us like water for the dogs. Yeah. And it was just like, I was like, man.
Very different.
I would love to be able to do this at home. It was just such a cool experience. I really, really enjoyed that. It was very memorable. Mm-hmm. But anyways, are we missing any other information? I feel like we went all over the place there. I think that's about it. I mean, there could be more, but that at least
at the end of the day, it's always all worked out for us. We've had some successful flights. Some, you know, trying times for sure, but it's always worked out.
Yeah. And hopefully too, just the more educated you are, like hopefully you pick up some tips and tricks from this podcast and then you're going to go into your experience and maybe be able to make some choices that are going to have the experience be a little bit better for you and your dog. And no one's judging you if you cry your eyes out when they take your dog away. Oh, it's so bad. I'm going to do it again. I know I am.
Yep.
I already warned the people that I'm traveling with because I traveled with them last time. And that was the first time that they saw me like crying like that. And then this time I was like, it's going to happen again. So you're just going to have to bear with me.
Yep. It hits her fast and hard.
I just love my dog so much. It's like my most prized possession. I just can't even imagine if something would ever happen. But anyways, it's been all good. So I really hope that you found this podcast informative. We are very experienced world travelers and, you know, hopefully learning a little bit more about how to do it makes the experience better for you. And if you are someone who is competing this, you know, with your dogs and in you're traveling overseas, kick butt, have fun, but also think about the traveling part because, you know, once you get there, you can relax. But I think going there and getting home are the two scariest parts. The rest of it is just like awesome. Mm-hmm. Just get the travel part over and done with. It's going to be really important. All right, guys, with that, we thank you for listening. As always, happy training. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to our McCann Dogs Agility Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out the links in the show notes below. On that note, happy training.